On the Double Down Michigan podcast, we explore topics related to the gaming industry in Michigan. Host Henry Williams, Michigan Gaming Control Board Executive Director, discusses responsible gaming, gaming legislation in our state, current trends, and more. We feature special guests from the gaming industry so you can get the inside scoop. Be sure to subscribe to Double Down Michigan, a podcast by the Michigan Gaming Control Board to stay up to date on the latest in gaming. Thank you for listening.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to part two of our conversation with Brooke Baumgartner, who works at the Michigan Gaming Control Board as a licensing coordinator within our Millionaire Party section. Brooke is also a member of the Snoqualmie Tribe in Washington State and here with us today to talk about her experience with tribal gaming. Brooke, can you define what a tribal nation is and what government-to-government relationship looks like for your tribe?
Yeah, a tribal nation is by definition a Native American or Alaska Native tribe, nation, pueblo, village, or community that the Secretary of the Interior acknowledges as a federally recognized tribe pursuant to the federally recognized Indian Tribe List of 1994. As I've stated before, I am a citizen of the Snoqualmie Indian Tribe, and we do appear on that list. Our government-to-government relationship is really similar to that of most tribal nations. You know, we negotiate and coordinate with local and federal governments regarding public policies, laws, ordinances, and executive orders, specifically when those policies have a direct impact on tribal interests. This is accomplished in a few different ways. So sometimes it's done through correspondence, and other times it's done in closed-door meetings. When we're talking about government-to-government relations, it's really important to understand that tribal nations truly are sovereign. So the best way that I found to explain this to people not familiar with what exactly that means is to say that you have to think of tribal nations as a nation within a nation. So it's no different than the U.S. negotiating with countries like China. These relationships are important to both governments, and they're vital to maintain.
Okay, great. And how is tribal gaming different from other forms of gambling?
Well, tribal gaming is different because the proceeds go to the betterment of the tribal communities as opposed to stockholders. At our casino, we actually have a yearly ceremony for some of our regular patrons. We honor them and thank them for their continued patronage and support for our tribal businesses. So it's more of a personal interaction.
Okay. And can anyone play at the Snoqualmie Tribes Casino in the state of Washington?
Absolutely. Anyone can come and play, so long as you're 21 years of age or older. Nope. We welcome everyone. As a matter of fact, we are underway with an expansion project as we speak. We are building a brand new state-of-the-art luxury hotel and spa, and we anticipate our grand opening to be sometime in 2025.
Okay, great. Send me an invite for that.
I will.
Yes. What types of games are typically offered in tribal casinos?
Well, that's kind of relative. So, but really, you'll find that the games offered aren't so different than other casinos in the industry. Some tribal casinos will offer games that others don't necessarily, just to name a handful of the types of games you might find. There's poker, 21, three-card poker, pow guy poker, roulette, craps, slot machines galore. You'll find that when you walk into a tribal casino that it has the same feel as really any other casino out there.
Okay, great. I've been to a number of tribal casinos and they are absolutely beautiful. Brooke, based on your personal experiences with the Snoqualmie Tribe, how has tribal gaming changed the Native American experience?
Tribal gaming has had a huge impact on Native American culture. We are able to collectively fight battles that we otherwise really couldn't afford to fight, like the ones that I mentioned in the last episode. It takes a lot of resources to be able to stand up in front of state courts, federal courts, and the United States Supreme Court, and to keep going with our never-ending fights to protect our treaty rights and our sacred sites. It takes resources to maintain and keep our tribal lands. It has given us a fair chance of preserving our way of life, a chance that otherwise we may not necessarily have had.
Okay, and how does the Snoqualmie Tribe benefit from tribal gaming?
Tribal gaming has provided the means for land acquisitions and for sacred site preservation. We are able to provide resources to our citizens to get college educations so that they can compete in the job market. We're able to provide resources to ensure that no tribal citizen ever goes without basic needs like housing and food. Likewise, we're able to help out other communities. So, for example, with the devastating fires in Maui, we were able to send resources to help with their community. Without tribal gaming, we wouldn't be able to do things like that.
Okay. And does the revenue from tribal gaming benefit the local community?
Yes, absolutely. As I previously stated, tribal gaming has helped out tribal community and the surrounding communities whenever the need has arisen. We don't all live in these lavish mansions by any stretch of the imagination, but tribal gaming has really given us the opportunity to provide resources to our citizens to ensure our survival. And, you know, that's given us the ability to compete in this new world that tribes find themselves in. The revenue is an advantage that our ancestors didn't have, and they struggled for their survival every day.
Wow. And, Brooke, what advice do you have for our listeners who wish to learn more about federally recognized tribes in the United States?
Yeah, I mean, keep asking questions. You know, keep the dialogue going. Do your research. Dig deep. Don't accept the watered-down version of our history. Listen to the stories and visit tribal community websites. In other words, go to the source.
Great. And any final thoughts you would like to share?
Yes, I'll leave you with this. We have come a long way as a people, and I'm grateful for the hard work and dedication of those that came before me to get us to where we are today. Tribal gaming is one small part of a much larger history. I feel very fortunate to live in an era where it's okay to be a Native American. My dad, my grandmother, my great-grandparents, and so on, they didn't have opportunities like this one to openly and without fear discuss their culture. It was not good to be a Native American in this country. I have an aunt that can remember being a child and having to use segregated bathrooms because her skin was too dark. I have many family members that can recall horrific stories about the fish wars in Washington State from the 1970s. And I'm not talking about fighting over a fishing spot. I mean, they were being arrested, gassed, and beaten for practicing their culture, for trying to feed their families during a time when tribal citizens were really only employable if they could pass for white. I have a deep reverence for my tribal elders, not only because it's traditional to honor our elders, but because they paved the way and they fought those battles on the front lines. They never gave up, and they showed true courage in the face of adversity. With Native Americans and Alaska Natives only making up about just a little over 2% of the population, we're coming up on a time now where it's my generation's responsibility to pick up that gauntlet and ensure that tribal culture isn't wiped out.
Well, Brooke, I want to thank you for being here with me today and sharing your history and the tribal experience here in America. So thank you so very much for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Henry.